This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, this is Unai Emery. Happy Christmas and Happy New Year, every supporter.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's part two of the unapologetic and dysfunctional My Old Man Said Christmas special. Joining me to find out who is the top three Villa players of the year, to sample Mr. Shaw's exquisite prose, and to dive into a load of other categories and discussions, Mr. Dan Rogers, Mr. Phil Shaw, and Mr. Chris Bird. Welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
It's round two.
Yeah, we missed the bell. We missed the bells at the start of that.
This is a
minimalist production compared to other years. We normally have a full band, bells, instruments, but...
Cost of living crisis, David.
Cost of living indeed. It's really eaten into the budgets of these Christmas specials. Inflation.
That terrace view don't pay for itself.
Yeah, my lower ground season ticket doesn't pay for itself.
Fortune.
That's a joke, by the way, people. Still makes me laugh. The highlight of the year was hearing somebody saying, oh, in Warsaw, the talk was about how you're really supporting the lower grounds. And this is a comment on the website. You're supporting the lower grounds and you don't mind this hospitality. It's like, dude.
Have you ever listened to us?
The first person to say to Purslow, no, do not compromise the halt. And, you know, it wasn't listened to. I don't know. We are joking about lower ground season tickets, just to make sure, just in case you don't have a sense of humour.
We had a lovely Christmas dinner there, though, didn't we, as a four? It was really, really good.
Especially, it was great. Had it to ourselves.
Yeah, we were the only four people that turned up for the Zrinski dinner, watched Zrinski Villa, speak to some old fart who used to play for Villa.
It was great of Tonev to turn up, wasn't it?
But it was a great Q&A with Tonev. Again, that was a joke, people. Supporting the My Old Man Said podcast throughout the festive period is NordVPN, and they are offering listeners an extra 4 months free on top of cracking savings on their VPN package, which can potentially help with that festive viewing, especially if you're away from home this Christmas, as a VPN enables you to watch sporting events and TV shows by switching your virtual online location from a physical location that might not allow you to watch certain matches at certain hours, while at the same time, it also protects your online privacy on up to 6 devices. To get the exclusive package and also a no-risk 30-day money-back guarantee, go to nordvpn.com/moms or check out this show's program notes as well. Thank you very much. Right, we're going to start off. We're going to take it down a notch. Chris Budd's been chopping wood out in the garden. He's going to bring in some logs. We're going to stick on the fire. Dan Rogers putting his slippers on. He's putting his pipe.
Just my slippers and pipe, just be
clear.
Yeah,
normally he wears a dressing gown, but he's doing it this one naked, unfortunately. This is why we are audio only.
It's mainly tradition,
just,
David.
Just for this reason. But anyway, he's in his rocking chair now. He's got his pipe and slippers on. He's got a printout of, actually, it's not a printout. Phil Shaw got his calligraphy set out beautifully inscribed a scroll with these words.
He's a dab hand with a quill and ink.
So log fire on, light it up, and let's begin. A Night Before Villa Christmas 2023 by Phil Shaw. Read by Daniel Rogers.
The build-up is strong.
It is, it's good.
Thank you, everyone. Hang on, let me just rearrange my pipe. Silk kimonos getting everywhere. Right.
Don't catch that silk kimono on the fire. It might turn out to be polyester.
Let's spend it.
You know, worst story.
We'd probably put the fire out if it was a Kastori kimono.
Twas the night before Christmas, when through Bodymore Heath, not a creature was stirring, except for the click of Emery's mouse. The tactics boards were hung with care, worn out this year, for once not bare. The substitutes were all nestled snug in their beds, while Zaniolo resisted the urge to bet instead. When in the terrace view there arose such a clatter, Chris Heck was amazed. Because, of course, no one sat there. Away to the window he flew like a flash, never missing a chance to rob villains of cash. When what to his wondering eyes should appear but Wes and Nassif, they gave him the fear. For upon Chris Heck they needed to check, lest he turn Villa Park into a wreck. Emi Martinez, the best in the world, told them the lower ground sounded absurd. The squad had performed, the whole year was great. The rest of the club had to step up to the plate.
Now McGinn, now Bailey, now Diaby and Ramsey.
Don't know why it's gone Churchill, yeah. On Torres, on Cashy, on Kamara and Watkins.
Just clear the fucker.
Hot casuals call, but out from the pack is how we play ball. So into the top four the villains flew, bailing out Ben Hatton and his miserly crew. And then in a twinkling, Heck heard on the roof the prancing and thump of his predecessor's boot. As he drew in his hand and turned around, then the chimney, Christian Perslow, came with a bound. He was dressed in Hermes from head to foot. Monchi followed behind him with a face black of soot. Perslow spoke not a word, but went straight to work, blagging away tickets to sing his own song, The Jerk. Monchi looked in Johan Langer's old desk drawer and found he'd been lining up Watkins for Spurs. The whore. Mings and Buendia should have been near, but their ACL scans still were not clear. Nanny McPhee was hard at work on a plan, complicating a set piece as only he can. Wes and Nassif dreamt of Champions League. They'd been burnt before, but this coach didn't deceive. Just then, the maestro strode in, all the research done. It was time to put an end to the festive fun. Unai Emery knew his work was just beginning, even though his team couldn't stop winning. Villa fans now know they aren't dreaming. So Feliz Navidad to Villa, and to all a good evening.
Oh, yes, bravo.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Those aren't hands that are clapping.
But cheeks.
You're fucking welcome.
What a beautiful
Phil,
entry.
A poem,
what a beautiful entry into the second part.
I mean, year on year, it's amazing how your skills don't improve. It's just
well, Phil, sure, he gets by with a little bit of help from his friends. So the Beatles once said,
"Well done, Phil."
Yeah.
Good work, Phil, on your commute. Commute's put to good use. I think we should get into the number three top player of the year. This is somebody who won it in 2020, turned into a Rolls Royce, and then he kind of went off the road a little bit, didn't he, in terms of being the top man. He wasn't continuing his progression, but now...
What, you mean Gerrard ruined another good player? Oh, yeah.
But now, back on it, although intriguing times ahead, because... having broken into the England team as a centre-back, and we're talking about Ezri Konsa, he now finds himself potentially sometimes at right-back. In recent times, will he stay there? What's Matty Cash think about all of this? But Ezri Konsa, there's been so much improvement that sometimes people go under the radar a little, but I think Ezri Konsa's been in the forefront just because he finally got his England call-up, didn't he?
Eventually, yeah. But it's thoroughly deserved. He's been brilliant all year, hasn't he? The partnership he kind of reignited with Mings, you know, in the second half of the season, you know, as part of the Euro run was incredible.
Yeah, well, those clean
sheets. The partnership he's now formed with Torres in the new season has been a different type of partnership, but equally impressive.
Indeed, us. Anybody else got anything to say about Konsa?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you just need to look at under Gerrard, whenever I think it was. In the last days of Gerrard, whenever he was forced to play right back against Leeds, and how far he's come in that position since Gerrard disappeared. Because against Leeds, you know, he was game, he was trying it, but nothing was working. Now you see him at right back, and while he's not an out and out fullback, he adds something to the team. He's got the cultured, you know, ability to actually play there.
I think he's been encouraged to play football, hasn't he? Because normally, like a centre back playing as a winger, it's normally like, well, just get rid of the ball as quickly as you can to somebody. You know, if you're in the final third, give it to somebody who can deliver. But he actually, I think he's encouraged to play, and he links up pretty well so far from what
we've seen. He's powerful as well. He's difficult to stop when he runs with the ball.
Yeah, it does stick to him. So all good there. And I mean, anybody who's regularly placing in the top five on these Christmas specials is a top man. Right, next segment, things we'd like to leave behind in 2023. I'd like to recall what we actually said in 2022. Anybody remember?
Going out of cups early, throwing away 2-0 leads, and injuries to players at key moments. Well, we'll have one of those.
Well, so we haven't really progressed, have we? Why didn't they grant us our wishes?
Well, the leads is fine.
Throwing away 2-0 leads. We've got that out of a system.
Because they knew that they had something better planned for us. The universe was working in mysterious ways and said, you deserve better.
Going out cups early, that still applies. Anyway, this is the first thing that came off the top of my head was things we'd like to leave behind in 2023 would be Arsenal, Manchester City and Liverpool.
Yeah, just put them in the rearview mirror, please. Mm.
Can you imagine that they were done and dusted and we were like double figures, points clear, and we're going into April?
Just a procession to the finish line.
That's how I see this season panning out. You heard it here first.
Just a month of Ole football.
Yeah, right. Reasons to be cheerful. This rolls on from the weekly five reasons to be cheerful. Oh, maybe I should have asked Armin for his hot takes. First thing that came to my head was, have Villa fans got cause for compensation here from the club? Because we're finally experiencing what it is like to actually have a proper manager, like a really proper...
Top level elite guy.
That you actually trust. I mean, we can, you know, you sit on these shows and all Villa media and you discuss things like, you know, who should be playing? What's he doing here? You know, what approach should be here? What formation should be? And it makes all that shit redundant because you just say, well, he knows what he's doing. And you realise we've only had to have those discussions and other podcasts and Villa media have had to have those discussions because we've had the likes of Sherwood, McLeish, Lambert, Gerrard,
Di Matteo,
Bruce,
and these are frauds. These are charlatans, aren't you? Dean
Smith. Oh no! Sorry,
you can't talk bad of him. He's a villain, my good man. But no, seriously, it's almost like they've hoodwinked the club. When you compare them to what Emery's doing, what he's done, and you know, a couple of those managers have had very similar players, but they've all got a part in building to where we got to, especially Smith, and you know, even Gerrard's played his part.
Certainly in the transfer market.
Yeah, when he gets Coutinho in, that's a signal for the likes of Kamara and Carlos and Luca Dean, and obviously, you know, we're trading on the Gerrard name as well. So he's played a part in building this squad, regardless of what you think about him as an actual manager. In the realms of actually being a manager, these people, in the job description that says football manager, if Emery is what a football manager is, these guys aren't. They're frauds. They're charlatans. I mean, Tim Sherwood, I always use the word charlatan. He was good for that adrenaline injection when the club needed it. But long term, there was no... Well, as soon as you got to the first summer transfer window, you thought, oh, shit, anything could happen here. But it is astounding, the difference of what we've had to go through. I mean, all these jokers have made for a good, entertaining podcast. Now we're struggling.
I was actually thinking, did they break Aston Villa or did Aston Villa break them? I mean, none of them have gone on to...
That is an existential question because, yeah, Remy Gard as well. I mean, I think he's retired, hasn't he?
Well, we retired him.
He hates football.
We sent him out to the farm.
Dreams of Gabby in his head.
Yeah, he went to Montreal, and after a couple of seasons there, when passed he was away. Fired, never seen again. McLeish, he was dead on arrival. He was in some months.
He looked like he was wearing the skin of someone else. I never understood it.
He was freakishly close to Chris Heck as well, which is weird.
Yeah, so the reasons to be cheerful is like we've got a legitimate manager. There's no more frauds or charlatans around.
Yeah.
Well, there's a trust in the manager and the team, and now you, especially if, you know, when we go to home games, you walk into Villa Park going, doesn't matter who we're playing here, we're giving anybody a game and have.
Yeah, but you feel like you're. It's not a circus anymore. It's like a football club that knows. You're
playing
what
it's football, doing. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Or when something goes wrong, you think, yeah, it's all right. He's got. He'll have an answer for this.
So what all the national pundits, it's obviously skewed for past performance, but also there's a bias to like London clubs and Manx clubs and Liverpool's legacy, but also the money side of things. But what they haven't factored in really too much, and this is where Villa have an advantage, all those top teams, Manchester United, they don't know what they're doing at the moment. Chelsea, big transition. Same. Can he dig them out? Can Poch dig them out? I don't know. There's a lot of balancing of the books to be done there as well. Spurs, you know, is the new chap in town. There's no guarantees there because he plays a distinct style that could be found out. I think what I've liked about Emery is starting to show a few different looks and different ways of winning. Klopp is Klopp, but I don't think Liverpool are at the zenith of a new team.
They look good, though, to be fair. I think they've got a very good squad.
It's not the Klopp team that's won the Champions League and lost very few games. And Manchester City are always going to find it hard to maintain that intensity. Doesn't matter how good their team is. They've done well, though, but it strikes me it's at that point where, I think I've said this before, you know, certain people, they wait to deadline to do the work. And I think that's how City operate now with this league, is like they can be 10 points behind Arsenal like last season. But then, you know, when they focus, they put the afterburners on and they'll go on a run where they just hammer everybody. This is something that's why I joked about Villa needing to be like double points in April, because if we start to get jittery, you know, like the likes of Liverpool and Manchester City will just be eating up 3 points every week. But who knew that a good equaliser to oil money and sovereign state funds was actually just to have a really good manager? I mean, obviously, we've got a bit of financial muscle as well. But the key thing is organisation and a good manager. And
the belief that comes off the back of that.
Because there's a danger of Emery. It's English second language, strong accent. I think the good news is we haven't got many English players. So it's not like you go back to the Sherwood Remy Gar days where you had that cliquey clink in the dressing room, the French and the English, you know, the knobheads crew with Gabby not really buying into it. Now you've got very few English players, so they're not going to be joking about the manager or taking the piss or whatever, and they've got his respect because he's a winner
and he makes it all of them better individually and collectively.
Yeah, you know, they know they're dealing with a real, of course he's a professional, but we haven't had many professionals at our club managing. Let's put it that way. So I don't think you really need to go on to reasons to be cheerful. Right, let's go for the good, bad and ugly of 2023. I'm intrigued to find out what the ugly is, but what's the good?
Well, we've alluded to it already. The good is the record-breaking home run, which of course I'm taking full credit for because I was there for the last defeat ever. Yes.
Thanks for staying away, by the way.
Yes,
well,
I know.
Last defeat before the home run started.
Yeah, before the record-breaking home 15 games started, because I was there for the Arsenal defeat, and because it's went so long now, I haven't even been able to think about going back, so it's not happening. But to put it into context, the top home records are Liverpool 24 games, Man City 20 games, and Man United 19 games. So you're an illustrious company.
Yeah.
Mega.
So what's the bad?
Well, the bad is VAR, refereeing, and just in general, the rapid decline of officiating standards. I mean, every week there's issues. From the time it takes to make any decision at all with VAR to the inconsistency, sometimes even in the same match. I mean, it's been so bad this season already, but it peaked when VAR didn't give a goal for Liverpool against Spurs when Luis Diaz was yards onside. I mean, they knew there was an error and they said, oh, we can't do anything now, it's too late. No, you can do it. You can tell the referee to stop the game and you can actually give the goal that should have been, instead of just saying good process, not actually looking what you've agreed to.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems with this whole setup now is just its job's worthiness, and common sense isn't there in the moment. Because when you're watching it, like if you're watching a game on TV, for example, sometimes in the ground it happens so quickly and, you're up in the upper Holt end, you're kind of lost. But if you're at home, you've got access to the screen, haven't they? And they show a replay pretty much straight away. And normally you've got a good grasp of the decision straight away. And you might need a second look. Well, how long does that take? 30 seconds? tops. Yeah. These things are going on for minutes, like 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, and it's just a joke. It takes away the momentum of the game. And a lot of it's needless, because if at home as a punter, just watching it, you can see the decision. I mean, sometimes, you know, in the ground, you can see it straight away as well. This whole offside farce is a pantomime now, where you know it's offside, but you've got to play on. So the keeper knows that his save's not going to count for anything. The striker who scores or whoever scores, it's like playing out a pantomime. That's how they've decided this is the best way forward. The convenient forgetting of the whole concept of clear and obvious, which is often ignored. They've just made it hard for themselves, because the VAR should just be, use it in a kind of VAR-like fashion for the real decisions that... But, when you're looking at offsides in minute detail and going through as many angles, 6-7 angles that you can find, just to see if they were a millimetre offside, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
If you can't decide straight away, then benefit the striker, I think. Well, actually, Villa's high line, benefit the defence.
Yeah, they're looking for 100% answers. They should just go in the balance of probabilities.
Well, sometimes they're looking for answers that aren't there either. They spend excessive amounts of time inconsistently and for and against certain teams, in my view.
But they're just making it more complicated for themselves and just taking this job's worth attitude when... Just use it in a lighter fashion and actually have distinct fucking rules.
There's this repetitive, spouted nonsense from Howard Webb and his goblins that this notion of we're trying to apply a set of rules and principles, and yet I can't see for one second where anything's being applied consistently. I don't know how they've got to a point where they've got the technology that they have and they've made the game worse. I think that's actually quite impressive. They deserve applause for that.
Yeah, it is quite remarkable. But I mean, the problem is the argument of, well, let's just get rid of VAR. It's like, well, what VAR's actually done is highlighted how fucked officiating has been. They just make it up as they go along. At least you see through VAR what's going right. And really, it's complete incompetence. I mean, Henry Winter, mid-December, said, because of the abuse that referees get, that I wouldn't be surprised if they start striking.
Do me a favour.
And there won't be games. Just sack them all and we'll start again. We'll start with a new institution.
Volunteer refs, it couldn't be worse.
Yeah, just drafting all the Sunday league refs. You can't get worse. That's why they won't strike, because you can't get worse.
Well, they're held on a pedestal, and as you say, it's as poor as it's ever been. It's more definitely under the microscope. But I don't know how,
But they've walked into this themselves, haven't they? By how they've applied and used VAR and some of the rules. How many tweaks are the handball rule and the offside rule? Handball used to be just handball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you didn't intend it. It was coming at this angle. It gives a shit. If you handball, it's tough shit,
Simple rule.
Yeah. It's almost like they've been paid, right? Can you ruin football? Don't worry. We'll pretend it. We'll just make it complicated. So the layman supporter would just give up after thinking about it for 30 seconds. And, that's where we take the higher ground. It's bullshit. Anyway, let's move on. The ugly. That should have been the ugly, surely.
No, there's uglier than that.
Ooh.
Well, it's the terrace view, lower grounds, the general gentrification of the Holt. I mean, this came from a survey that had fans requesting just basic 20th century facilities in the concourses.
And we are in the 21st century, by the way.
Exactly. Well. I mean, Villa's commercial team from this survey birthed the double trouble of the terrace view and the lower grounds.
Double trouble, double penetration.
Oh.
Hang on, I did the jokes around here.
Double penetration of the pocket. Yeah. Sorry, being smutty, sorry.
But, I mean, you've said it many times, gentrifying your famous Cop End, it's an unforgivable sin, as is taking away the Holt suite and replacing it with the lower grounds, the picnic tables, popcorn and house wine. It's just a disaster.
It's when you don't get it, and... You don't get it, the fans who take up the offer. But, I mean, if everybody stood in unison and said no, then nobody would go in. And they'd have to rethink that pretty swiftly. And the only way they could rethink it would be to open it up and then blend in improvements on the concourses. And it would be part of a good concourse that consecutive high price hikes would justify in your season tickets and your match day tickets.
And they're very fortunate, as we've said. Emery's kind of bailed them out by having such an amazing winning team on the pitch that the fans kind of, well, the fact that we've won 15 on the bounce at home and probably the last however many 10 home games, they've booed the lower grounds and the terrace view at half time.
Well, the first game, Everton, where the Terrace View came to be, the reaction was actually more hostile than expected. People shouting scabs at other fans. You don't want to, you know, have fans calling out other fans, but that's the way it's kind of set up. And those fans in there have kind of walked into it, really.
It's the club's fault for making it us and them, isn't it?
The club, they put lipstick on the pig. They put lanyards, gave lanyards to everybody. So they just, you know, this is because they don't understand football culture. So you've got a load of people that are sitting in the upper hall wearing lanyards, and they've been escorted there with hostesses, and there's a velvet rope there. It's like when I walked up the hall, I couldn't believe that first day against Everton where I saw these velvet ropes and these fucking hostesses. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I couldn't believe it. I told Heck at the first meeting, I said, you don't do this in a cop end. He said, oh, it was before my time. I said, yeah, but it's on your watch that you dressed it up with lanyards and velvet ropes. He goes, well, you got to sell it, haven't you? You got to give it. Basically, it's quite a low cost way of making money is you dress something up to be VIP exclusive. All you need is a fucking velvet rope, some lanyard fucking badges, and people self-esteem will pay money to feel like they're, you know, they've got a good experience. But unless you buy, you know, you're buying in purposely because that's the only way you can get in, and you kind of understand that. If you think you're buying there and you think you're cool, then you're not kind of our people, really. If you're buying in because that's the only way you can get in, fair enough. But it shouldn't really be there. As I said, you can make money out of the Hulk. Look at, you know, the yellow wall at Dortmund. This is where you're getting your social media. If you're turning that stand into something like TIFOs and...
Or what Tottenham have done.
And there's noise there, and it's, a, you know, the lungs of Villa Park. That's what's going to attract people to be at Villa, not opening like a Disney attraction. Oh, experience the famous Holt End. Wear a fucking wristband and...
come and eat the famous Holt End candy floss.
And by the way, the Terrace View facilities, you know, it's all right, but it's what really the general concourse should be for the price we pay.
Mm-hmm. That's the point.
But, and you've put walls
that
up.
That is a point. We're kind of being conned on an upsell. That is the problem there. But I think Heck and Ben Hatton realise that wasn't the smartest move. Obviously, their defences is before their time. But I think you can upgrade that concourse and basically blend in the Terrace View and make it as normal and take away that hospitality element. That would be somebody listening to fans, but we'll see. I mean, the lower grounds, I'm just pissed off about that. That actually happened like mid-season as opposed to announced before, because that was always a benefit for season ticket holders. So it does leave a bit of a sour taste.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, moving on. Emery's Secret Santa. Right, this is one we haven't really planned. So the premise is, each of us will suggest a player from Villa's past to gift Emery this Christmas to improve his present matchday squad. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an upgrade in the first, you know, 11 positions. It could be somebody useful coming off the bench, providing a bit of cover. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Ooh.
I've ummed and ahed about this, and if you listen to episode one, I did suggest we needed another backup striker, so...
Part one.
So Marlon Harewood was the obvious... obvious choice.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to mention that Secret Santa is under £5.
in all seriousness,
Marlon Howard's about £4, isn't he? £4.50, something like that. I used to like him when he came off the bench because it was an element of fun there. And I had a ticket for Anfield, Villa at Anfield. My Liverpool friend got it, but in the last minute I pulled out for some reason. And I've never been so gutted that I missed Marlon Howard's overhead kick.
I saw him score a fantastic goal. It was away at Reading. where he was broken.
Score a hat trick against Villa for West Ham. That's why we bought him.
4-0 dropping.
Yeah. That can never happen again. We must buy this.
I do apologise. This was supposed to be £4 a secret.
£4.50 brute.
I'm opening old wounds. on the striker theme, in all seriousness, the striker, not so long ago, I would buy him and bring him peak Christian Benteke.
Yeah, that's kind of an obvious one. And I think he would probably fit in, wouldn't he? But then you've got that dilemma. Would you take him over Watkins? Because what Liverpool... I don't even need to think. Because what Liverpool didn't really realise that Benteke was a bit of a baller, had a weight of pass, could hold it up. I always think about Benteke when I think about Martin O'Neill's team, which was missing a proper striker. And
that was his fault. That was his fault.
And like a proper central midfielder. I mean, if you had McGinn in there and Benteke, I think we're winning the league there because the rest of the team was reasonably solid at that time.
Benteke was so good, he could even get on one of Mario Cash's crosses.
He's not that good, come on. But Benteke has been so devalued since he last left Villa.
Yeah, it's a
shame.
It's
been bizarre. I don't quite get it. Literally, I've never seen him reproduce what he did at Villa in any shape or form. Palace, when we played Palace, it was like...
He looked so disinterested, didn't he? I didn't watch much of him, but I remember that lockdown season where... I think we really needed to beat Palace, actually. And they were the most disinterested. But for such a strong, predatory striker that he was more like a Marlon Harewood, really.
Chris, secret Santa for Emery. Ex-Villa player.
We could do the backup goalie, couldn't we? See, maybe go Bosnich, but...
Hang on a minute.
I'm going to go prime 95-96 Dwight York. Because he could play up front or he could play just behind.
If I'd have had a gun, I'd have shot him.
Do you think he was a team player? I mean, I remember when he took on Newcastle when we were down to 10 men, took him on his own. We got beat 4-3 in the end, but...
He was a team player when it came to Katie Price, wasn't he? Could cut that out.
So that's two strikers, shall we say. Phil Shaw.
Well, I was going to say Benteke, but I have a backup.
Go on then.
I'm going to have to take Platt just for the guaranteed goals.
We're winning the league. We're winning the league, boys.
Yep.
Oh, who does he play over, though?
This is the thing. He's playing in that. Oh, he's playing over Diaby or Bailey.
He's a genuine 10.
That's a great shirt.
He's a genuine 10 out of 10 as well. This is Platt, Villa Platt. Villa Platt is a bit like Villa Benteke as well.
Yeah, it's just guaranteed at least a goal a game, sometimes two or more. Cycling shorts, Platt, that's what you're going for whenever you wear those stupid black cycling shorts.
He's thinking about this in a bit of detail.
The thing I was deprived of as a Villa fan, and I just wanted one more season of this player, and that was Alan McAnally.
Ooh.
Because we got rid of him. I mean, Platt stayed on, but those two together were like dynamite. And I'd have loved to have seen, and McAnally as, I don't know if technically if he would suit, could he fill in for Watkins? I mean, it would be a different, this isn't my choice, by the way. I'm just throwing out there. Just the idea of watching another season of him playing for Villa would have been the season I got deprived of. Thinking like, obviously one of the situations that would help would be a genuine right back.
We haven't had that many.
Yeah, well, exactly. So this is why I'm going for like Gary Williams of the European Cup team. I mean, so many decent players in that team that you would throw in there. But if there was one that would actually potentially upgrade the first 11, it would be Gary Williams because he was a baller and he's exactly the kind of profile of right back that would probably serve as well, superior to Cash. This is, you know, without going for like, you know, the obvious top scoring villains, etc. I think, you know, like Gareth Barry, would he give you anything? Not necessarily, because you've already got Kamara and Louise, really.
And they come as a pair.
Yeah, they work well.
Still thinking of a backup goalie.
I mean, Tony Morley would get in there.
Cutting in from the left.
Yeah, he could play both sides. I mean, I'd love to see Gary Shaw, but I don't know.
Sure, I think this exposed for me how few players from our inverted comma modern era you would cherry pick. There are so few.
Yeah, because you've got like, you know, you can look, Dean Saunders, there's an argument there.
I mean, prime Atkinson when he can be bothered.
I wouldn't trust him.
Tony Daly on the left would be interesting.
Atkinson was in a title race and he went fucking missing. And, you know, we know he had a 100%, we know he had a coke problem. So we don't know if he was injured or just out of it. But he let us down in that title run. He disappeared. Dean Saunders, I think, there's a call. He, match day squad, perfect. Who did you just say, sorry?
Tony Daly on the left.
Yeah, Tony Daly, I think he would be good match day squad. I mean, Cowans, of course.
McGrath?
Of course.
Tricky one.
Think about McGrath.
And I think a match day squad in terms of a utility player, you know, you ain't going to get that much better than Milner, who can play in probably four or five positions these days.
Like McGrath, alongside Torres, I mean, we're talking about McGrath with, you know, shaky knees, as we had. Him alongside Torres, I'm not so sure, because I think Torres needs, let's say, a more action-packed centre-back next to him, and McGrath needed somebody to do the heavy lifting in terms of that. You know, he needed an attack dog, really. So McGrath was like the Torres role, really, wasn't he, back then, and Teal just took on the action. I think McGrath alongside Mings is a good combo.
They'd be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, but I'll stick with Gary Williams just because that sorts out that right-back situation in terms of going forward as well, especially. But yeah, definitely keep a Spinks or Bosnick or something like that as a backup.
Or would you even go down the Rimmer route?
I don't want to Rimmer anybody. Thank you very much.
Frankie.
That's a very Merry Christmas.
Right, let's go to the runner-up this year, Player of the Year. Popular choice by the Mileman said Match Club Cruise. A lot of people had him number one.
It was always going to be these two, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is somebody I would have been happy with 25 million to get rid of him if he was interested in going to Arsenal. No problem at that time. He hadn't actually showed anything particularly above and beyond as having potential. But as soon as he stayed, that's when he kind of clicked into gear and went up a level, didn't he? And obviously Emery was a massive part in helping him realise his role. And do you think it was confidence?
Head turned by a lady in the women's team.
Yeah, but I'm talking about on the field. Why?
Stability, possibly.
It's almost like he needed to step up to be a main man, because he wasn't that main man, wasn't he? He was disposable because he didn't give us enough.
We are, of course, talking about Douglas Luiz, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. I'm sure people would guess as soon as I said 25 million, but Dougie Luiz, indeed. But he's very much part of the team now. You always think he's looking for a move, though, ultimately. But I think the thing is, Martinez is the one that keeps them all in line.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that's won the World Cup. So he said, we're going for it. And Villa go for it. And they're in the top four, fighting for the title and qualifying for the Champions League. There's nowhere else you can go, really. Unless you're going to get, if you want more money, that's the only situation. And in fact,
which Villa would probably give you at this point.
Yeah, if we value you and you're good, we'll give you whatever you want anyway.
I think you've seen a player who's got belief in his ability now. He knows his role. I think the fact he bedded in a partnership with Kamara was huge. So he didn't have to do all of the work himself, maybe. But you've seen a player who now has added assists, goals, which we thought he had in his game, but he does now. And he controls the game for us.
Kamara coming back from injury means that Douglas Luiz has a more of a freer role to actually join in the attack and link up the attack. And I think that's benefited his game.
And benefited McGinn as well, you would say. The balance of that midfield now is just incredible. And then, of course, you drop Ramsey back in there, who was great at the back end of last season, and other guys who've come in and done a role, you know, done their job.
Because Luiz and Kamara, you know, even McGinn, Tillemans, all very good at playing in tight spaces under pressure. And that allows you to do a hell of a lot as a midfield.
You've seen some of the goals we've scored this season, especially. And Luiz, of course, you know, last season, he was scoring big goals in big games, if you remember. You know, he's got the free kick against Tottenham. Yep, the goal on the last day against Brighton, the big free kick against Spurs.
He knows how to take a penalty as well.
He does.
Yeah, no, exactly. He does. Yeah.
And he's great to watch, isn't he? In full flow, he's got some great touches.
I have a feeling this show next year, if we're still alive, after winning the Champions League and league title.
Oh.
I think we'll be talking about Tillemans a lot, because he's
only going to get better.
Too much of a short time frame, really, for him to be like Phoenix from the flames. I mean, there were some people trying to sell him in January, going back in October. Do you think we should cash in on Tillemans?
Nope.
But
he's a great footballer.
He's given us another level. Rather than playing in his position, for example, an inconsistent Zaniola or whoever, he's somebody that now he's on his game. Him, Luiz, Kamara, McGinn, even Bailey, Diaby, all just technically really good. Some of the passing against Manchester City, just in that under pressure, tight spots. And that pass that Tillemans did to actually set up the Arsenal goal.
Brilliant goal.
Into Bailey. That pass, it just sped up and just it basically changed the tempo like that.
And even, you know, his performance, the first time we really saw him was, you know, the Alkmaar away game, and he got the goal, didn't he? That was a big moment for him. And then all he hasn't really looked back from then.
Yeah, because he initially, when he got, he was coming on as sub just to kind of manage games, wasn't he? He was neat and tidy. But normally he was coming on, we were winning and didn't really have to do much. Then he went in that period where he started deeper and he was getting caught out of possession a couple of times. And
he had a terrible night in Warsaw, didn't he?
Yeah. But that's because he wasn't slotting into a system or, you know, that kind of welcomed him and it wasn't, you know, he wasn't part of the party. But anyway, we are cramping Douglas Luiz's style here. He is number two and the runner-up of Villa Player of the Year. We just want to go through some of the Match Club people because we did ask a question. It's not actually on the plan.
Best in and out.
Best in and out was Jimmy Remo, wasn't it? Sorry. Now, the worst opinion on Villa, your own, media, or whatever. Jim says, any opinions from North London clubs, fans regarding Villa, VAR, or anything football related? Matt D says, anything Garth Crook says. Obviously, that was hot, referring to the sheer fantasy, I think. The two words he described as Villa's title chances. Also says Chris Sutton during the season's previews, actually laughing at the idea of us qualifying for Champions League when we'd already finished 7th and 5th this year could actually do the job. Armin says, worst opinion on Villa, Emery plays defensive football. Column says, Garth Crooks has always been a shockingly awful pundit, reinforced that view after the Arsenal game. Ben Redding says, Tifo football YouTube video saying we were lucky at the end of last season and that signing Pau Torres would make us worse. It's Phil's friend also, that chap, isn't it?
I'm blocked.
He blocked
Friendship's
you,
over. Yeah. He blocked me.
Anders says, worst opinion on Villa, my mate, Millwall supporter. It's better Villa plays in the Championship so we can get some points. I think that's kind of true. I remember when we got relegated, not the last time, the time before, and they were in the second division, and they used to beat us then. They win the league. Villa came second. Matt says his own opinion, thinking we should cut our losses on Bailey. There's been a few turnarounds on opinions on Villa players under Emery because he's resurrected them. Phil Shaw normally writes a load of players off. He's normally written their prescriptions to go to the glue factory quite quickly.
Yep, I have.
I mean, he already had Dean Smith ordered him an Uber to go to the glue factory before Dean Smith had a chance to do anything. Was that against after we got beat by Watford?
Yes, it was. I stand by that.
You were proven right in the end, though, weren't you, Phil? Let's be honest.
As Christian Perslow said, he wasn't going to get us eighth this year, nor was he going to do it next season.
Where is he now? That's all I'll say.
Matt82ABFC from Match Club says, right, this is a quote. Youri Tielemans is physically cooked and can no longer play at the top level. A media narrative initially from Tifo that I 100% bought into, and then I realised he's only 26. He's been outstanding since settling in. There's a good comment there, but that's exactly what we were saying. But yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people were thinking, oh, we've got a free transfer. Here's somebody at the end of their career who's like 31, 32. And that's actually, I think I was thinking, I was surprised when, oh shit, he's only 26.
He was, a lot of the Leicester fans basically saying he was a lazy, slow,
fat,
donut-munching Belgian, basically.
Look at him now, he's virile, he's thriving.
It's proof that you can be lazy, fat, donut-munching and a good, real top pro. I mean, it's dispels the myth.
You make him feel wanted, give him a contract that he wants and he'll play good football. Yeah.
Vicky says, AFTV, Arsenal Fan TV, pricks. Being let into Villa Park and ranting pure hate about us and hoping we get relegated. Not happy about that at all. Neither was I, actually. And I told the head of communications who the hell let them in. Wasn't him. Worst opinion on Villa. This is Charles P. Are Aston Villa's transfers making them worse? Is that Tifo video?
Yes.
Yeah, God, it's full of shit. I never watched it, but I just saw the vitriol that was coming out from it. Mateo says, Worst opinion. While Mings was in an ambulance on his way to hospital, Freddie Ljungberg spent 10 minutes at halftime of the Newcastle Villa game in the Viaplay studio explaining why Mings is such a bad defender. Another Arsenal prick. Shows him the red card emoji. Julian says, Julian 888 says, Miguel Delaney's not elite comment. That was directed at Unai Emery, wasn't it?
Yes.
Julian actually said most improved player, Leon Bailey, who he hated most of the time. There's been a real redemption if Julian's given Bailey the thumbs up. That is, the Dante's circle has been completed and he is now reborn. Dan C says, worst opinion, media narrative around our highline and how we will be found out. Yeah, I thought that highline would be cracked by now, but it's obviously something that nobody can handle properly. A few people have had a go. I mean, Manchester United at Old Trafford, they were reasonably successful.
Yeah, Forest.
Forest, yeah. Bournemouth did all right. Steve Duffy says, worst opinion, most opinions by Danny Murphy on anything, but his take on Nanny McPhee questioning why we should need a set-piece coach was bizarre and had his fellow Match of the Day pundits scratching their heads. Nanny McPhee's like our mascot, isn't he? You got to love him.
No comment.
Well, there's a stat that I don't know what game it was on, but actually said Villa had scored more goals from set pieces than any other team in the Premier League. Who's taking that acclaim for that?
I need to lie down. I mean, that's good. I mean, I'm not sure it quite undoes. How long has he been with us?
Those first few seasons.
He should have won the league by now.
No set-piece defending.
His probationary period was the longest in history.
Just finish on this one. Also, Scandinavian punditry on Villa is by and large pretty weak and lazy. These days, they obviously have to talk about us, but while they do it, they surely just can't wait to be done with it and jump back on their usual routine about Haaland or Odegaard and City, United, Arsenal or Liverpool, like children eating their mushy peas waiting for dessert.
Interesting analogy.
Getting the mushy peas in. Didn't know they were big in Scandinavia. Right. Best in, best signing recently? Well, best signing this year, shall we say?
In terms of straight off the bat impact, I'd say Moreno, but in terms of potentially what he could do and transform the team, potentially Torres.
The big picture.
Yep.
Pau, big picture Torres.
Yep. Yep. Paella Torres.
Dan Rogers.
Yeah, Torres for me. Looks a class act.
I've really liked Diaby at times, but I think he's probably got another level he's going to need to.
Yeah, just sometimes he's been knocked off the ball a bit too easy. I always thought he's a bit small.
He's fun to watch. He's exciting.
He's a bit small for this Premier League, but then you think, when you saw him play the first few games, you thought, oh, he's freaking fast and nippy. Doesn't matter what size he is. In terms of out, did we get rid of Sanson for good or is he still on loan?
No, he's still on loan.
He's 87 years old.
What a contract he got.
I thought a disappointing out was Coutinho because you might as well have sent him to the glue factory than to Qatar, because that is a real disappearance act, isn't it?
Yeah. We couldn't even get money for him. That's rubbish.
It's literally retirement, isn't it?
Yeah, he was broken, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, in terms of the best out, I suppose you'd have to say Danny Ings in terms of
money.
You know, yeah. Of course, at the time, he was the top goal scorer at that point.
It was a gamble, wasn't it? Because when we got him in, we were like, good, we've got two strikers now. Now we can, if we're going to be serious about Europe, you're not going to get rid of Ings. Then we got rid of him. We thought, we're not very serious about Europe. And then we qualified.
And we looked better. But we clawed back a lot of his, especially with amortization and stuff like that, we clawed back a lot of his fee.
We clawed back some of his aggregate.
And actually, I'd probably say that the deals on the youngsters who left, the sort of Philogiebides.
Oh, fuck yes.
And Archer, et cetera, as well. Fuck, they were very good deals because we got, let's be frank, massively inflated fees for them, I would say.
Aaron Ramsey.
Totally forgot about that cull.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsey, 14 million, wasn't it, for a kid who's barely kicked a ball in the first team?
Yeah, that looks very good business.
I mean, to be fair to Purslow, he always was quite bullish on this, where if they're not performing at, I forgot what age it was.
It was 22.
Yeah, then get them out. And that's pretty much what's happened to those guys, because they should have been match day squad, shouldn't they?
You've also got cash for the likes of, we got a couple of million quid for Keenan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Sold him to Udinese.
Which was profit.
Profit. I mean, a couple of million quid, isn't it?
Because it's like costs of him.
And wages.
And wages.
I know, but he was paid by the amount of goals that he scored. Davis. So we were actually insignificant.
So harsh.
Medical costs.
We got the medical costs on insurance, and we only paid him per goal, so that was a good deal.
On the flip side, we didn't get such a good deal. Did we get any money for Wesley? Is he still ours?
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Went to Stoke, didn't he?
Yep.
For like a couple of million, I think it was.
Didn't I know that to know.
That's probably the greatest transfer in the history of football.
See?
Anyway, I think we should end on Player of the Year. And perhaps the period that really crystallised it was probably those two games, wasn't it, against City and Arsenal in the space of a week, because he pretty much was the difference in those games. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a save here and there from Martinez, and against City, to a man, everybody was at least a 9 out of a 10. But for the player that he terrorised City and hardly ever gave the ball away, did he? Won it back against the odds in many places, was very good on the ball, tucked away that goal against Arsenal supremely.
Yep, he's popped up with some big goals this year.
He was also, in the part one, the most improved player of the year as well.
Deserved.
Mm-hmm. Improved so much to the best player of the year. And as I will say, you would not swap him for Grealish. And he was always the bridesmaid to Grealish when Grealish was at Villa. But, and probably at the time, rightly so. But you knew there was more from McGinn, but you were... It got to a worrying situation shortly after Gerrard made him captain that you thought, well, obviously Gerrard's seen something in him. And again, you know, maybe Gerrard's ahead of his time there. But it needed Emery to get his best role in the team. And hats off to him, big time. I mean, I always said that I would have McGinn in a matchday squad, whoever we get in, you know, above him. He'd always have a useful role. But now he's now main man territory.
Yeah. And he's the talismanic figure in terms of a personality. You know, he's great in the press. He's good for a sound bite. I think he's great fun. He's the player that the fans want to get behind. And he's the guy, you know, when the chips are down, he, you know, he smashes into someone, or he makes something happen, or he can pop
scored
up with a
in
goal.
The playoff final.
Mm-hmm. He did.
He's essentially finally.
He's added goals this year.
Yeah,
he's finally
replicated what he's doing for his national team, and he's doing it at Villa week in, week out now, and that is the difference. We used to almost look at Scotland with envy.
Mm. Yep. Do you think, I mean, something I think about is that when we talk about players like McGinn, and we've talked over these last two Christmas episodes about players who, in this current squad, you know, they're standout not just as a group, but individually. And finally, with a player like McGinn, I don't cringe when I hear of a younger Villa fan say they idolise a player or they want to be like a Villa player.
Yeah.
Because McGinn's got genuine attributes as a player and a person, actually, who... You know, we're a long way away from some of the, I could sit here and list names all day, really, of players who they're nowhere near the level of quality of players of a McGinn. And I think finally now he's in amongst that group of players where we could be quite proud of them, actually. And
he's a top guy as well. So congratulations to McGinn, and hopefully we shall see you lifting a trophy as Villa captain.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the season.
Riding Ozzy the Bull.
Yeah, riding the... As we prophesied, but that prophecy was for the FA Cup last season. But you've got to put it into the ether, haven't you? So
manifest.
So who knows? I mean, it's not out of the question. Could be lifting the league title. Could be lifting the FA Cup and the conference. And that would be a treble. God, imagine if we won the treble. Then the scenario would... One of the conversations would be, would have Grealish preferred this treble with Villa or the City treble? And we'll be saying, who here gives a fuck? Joe, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he'll be happy at Spurs for then.
But McGinn will be, me and Dan Rogers will be building a brass statue of McGinn outside if that happens. Mm. If he captains us to a treble.
Pull that McGregor one down. I'm joking.
I'll be melting it down for the McGinn statue, the treble winning McGinn statue. Might be a bit smaller because we're going to have to make the FA Cup Conference League trophy and the Premier League title out of that brass. So. Mm.
But there's plenty of the glue factory we can melt down with it. So.
Right. Anyway, on that note, hopefully by the time we speak in the 2024 Christmas special, we'll be talking about a trophy win, the first time since 1996.
Wow.
Fingers crossed for that. But in the meantime, I hope you had a good Christmas, or I hope you're having a good Christmas and festive break. And until next we meet, it's Merry Christmas from me, and it's Merry Christmas from them.
A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.